It's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Yes! Here we go, follow the money. Pauly and Bruce Marshall today. Mitch out, bad plumbing. You know the story. Big show coming up. Adam Chernoff in an hour. He was dynamite last week. We'll get a couple totals in the NFL. Lou Finocchiaro on the big UFC card tomorrow. He has three big plays. We'll talk to Lou and Chuck Edel. Get out of the way. Make room for Chuck every Friday. 6-1 last week. He'll run down everything he bet early in the week, stuff that moved, and his three top plays. He has three totals as well. Mr. Totals in college football. Chuck Edel coming up. World Series, NFL props, survivor advice. Bruce has soccer picks. Big 10, Pac-12 coming back. Big 12 back tonight. Pac-12 coming back next week. Mountain West back. Crazy handicapping angles. A team that's on a 20-1 ATS run on the road. You have a team that's making they're having their first game of the season coming up tomorrow. So plenty of NFL to get to. Bruce has got coaches on the hot seat. Pac-12, Big Ten preview. Top, bottom in the NFL. How you been? Thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah. You know, this time, you know, if I'm awake at this time, I'm usually on approach to Atlanta, or maybe I'm in the terminal there taking a red eye in. So I'm glad to be in studio, yes. Not in an airport or in the air at 4 a.m. our time. But it's good to be here. Yeah, yes. Good fun.
It is good fun. Last night was good fun with point spread hijinks with the side in total. And it's just, let me ask you this, because you have a great memory and you've seen everything. Is this the worst division you can recall? Philadelphia wins the game. They're down 11 at home with 5 minutes. They win the game. They are now 61% to win the division.
It is the worst. I mean, the Giants could have been in first this weekend if they held on last night. I mean, even Washington, I mean, could have been if Philadelphia would have lost. Yes, I think it is the worst. The 2010 season when Seattle won in Pete Carroll's first year, they won the NFC West at 7-9, and that was the beast mode game with Marshawn Lynch in the playoffs. They actually beat the Saints. So that's the worst I can remember in the NFL. And baseball, 1973, National League East. That looks like the SEC by comparison to what the NFC East this year.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if Philly loses that game.
Yeah.
And then they beat the Cowboys at home next Sunday night.
Yeah.
We'd be halfway through the season, and the team in first place would have three wins.
If the Eagles lost that game last night, Angelo Cataldi on WIP this morning would have been talking guys off free expressway overpasses because they were that close. It was tough.
Yep. What do you think of Wentz? Because my rant goes back 5-10 years. Can we stop paying these guys these astronomical contracts until they actually win something? Cutler, Romo, Stafford, Tannehill in Miami, although it's worked out in Tennessee. Dalton. Ryan, Wentz. I mean, I'm missing a ton of guys, but can we hold off on the big deals? So he rallied the team.
Yep.
So full marks. But that was ugly through three quarters. Again with the turnovers. Sure, you have guys out, but injuries are part of the game. Although certainly what's going on in Philly is out of control. But I just think, you know, they're regretting that contract.
I think the jury's still out on him.
Yeah.
And not because he looks like Prince Harry. It is. There's people back there who will tell you, since Frank Reich left for Indianapolis, he hasn't been quite the same.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a pretty valid point. So, yeah, I think there is reason to question it, sure.
Yeah. They've beat the Giants 8 in a row. As I mentioned, 61% now to win the division. The great promotion Bette Rivers was running yesterday with the turnover insurance, and he had 4 turnovers in the game. How about Danny Dimes falling down? I've seen that once in my life. The Vikings were playing in Denver, and Anthony Carter was going in. He just, I mean, the turf monster got him. Stephon Diggs had a great tweet. That's like the actor who trips in the scary movie being chased by the bad guy. I mean, that's like, oh no, you're way ahead of the person. You just fall down to make it more interesting for the movie and the drama. I mean, how does he fall down there?
Well, I do that at home on the carpet sometimes. So it can happen.
Oh God, it's incredible. But the Giants blow the game. The big drop. What happened with Engram? I know there was hijinks with the Eagles team total in the first half with the missed field goal. But up a great opportunity in play, huge for survivors too. You're down 11 late. Also, they cover, I don't know. It just seems to me, going back to what you said about Reich, it also seems that Philly can never convert a two-point conversion. I mean, that's another thing. They failed on their last three.
You know, interesting, last night, there's a trend for the Giants, and it held up again last night. Road underdog. Now,
yes.
It worked very well the last couple of years. They're 4-0 as a road dog under Joe Judge already this season. They
bad
were 10-3.
Bad at home. Great as a road dog.
You can go with them as a road dog. Engram, though, on the flight home last night, if there was a flight or they took the bus back to New York, whatever, I'm surprised he was able to get on after dropping that pass. That was very brutal.
Yep. Follow the money. Paulie and Bruce Marshall, Visa and the Sports Betting Network. Recapping what happened last night, Thursday Night Football. Peterson now 5-0 on Thursday Night Football. And the Eagles get ready for Dallas coming up with a huge comfort behind win. I thought there was a key sequence in the game. So they go right. They get the score early and then lead 7-0. Then they get a stop and they get the ball back, but they're pinned. And then Wentz has got the guy wide open for a 20 to 25 yard gain, gets him out of trouble, puts him across the 30. He misses him. And then this has been a problem for a long, get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, how long does he, the sack where they lost 20 yards, he takes another sack. They have to punt from their own end zone. The guy shanks it. And then bam, the touchdown to Tate, instead of, you know, driving, or at least with the ball at their own 30, 35, up 7-0. Suddenly it's a 7-7 game.
Yeah. Yeah, how many quarterbacks are you seeing eat it this year? They're not throwing the ball away. I'll tell you another one. On the last drive there, or the last Giant possession, they're trying to hold on. If Wayne Gallman gains 9.5 yards instead of 10 and gets the first down, then it's 2nd-and-1. The whole sequence changes, and they could run off a few more plays. They'll probably still get a first down. There's a lot of little nuances in a game like that, and that's where the Giants aren't at yet. They're finding ways to lose these games. They should not have lost that game last night. Maybe later in the season they won't lose a game like that, or maybe they will, where they're the Giants. But Daniel Jones just not quite ready to put games away like that.
All right, let's go rapid fire. Week 7 of the NFL. I'm intrigued. Well, this game has been moved. It hurts us that we don't have the Sunday night game and show off the fancy stadium again. But Tampa's up to 4 against the Raiders, and the Raiders could be without their entire offensive line with the COVID issues. We know about Brown. 4 other guys are on the COVID list. Abram joins the list as well. Fingers crossed, if they play the game, they move it to the late afternoon kick, so in case they can go Monday or Tuesday if need be. I still think they'll be able to play, but who knows? But what a fiasco this could be. But then again, you're looking at the laundry list here. It's the same cast of characters with Tampa. Godwin, Evans, Miller, Gronk, all questionable. I expect them to go after they trounce Green Bay. But this, I mean, how do you handicap this, Bruce, if the whole team's without their whole offensive line?
And it makes it hard in this and for us, too, because we like the over in this game a lot. And I think that's a very fair price considering the trends both of these teams. Even though Tampa Bay's been under 2 in a row, they have really trended strong over Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians, you go back to his to 2016 with Arizona, he's about a 67% overplay.
Yeah, great point.
So, I don't know what to do with the total now. I mean, if the Raiders are going to be banged up on the offensive line like this, just have to wait and see what happens. But, absolutely, that's something, our total there, I think we have to, the over, we have to think about it.
How about the side? I mean, this is just, what do you do if you're Carr? What do you do if you're Gruden if all these guys could be out?
Well, yeah, you know, and I'm seeing, you know, one thing we're seeing with these numbers this year, Paulie, had this game been played before the Bucs beat the Packers, I don't think Tampa Bay would have been this big of a favorite coming into this week. But it's moving up a little bit now after this news with the Raiders offensive line. So I don't know. But for us, you know, the total was the one we were really looking at that over, and I'm really not sure about that right now.
Where's Tampa in the pecking order in the NFC, in your opinion?
They're close. They're close because I don't think anybody in the South is really that strong. And forget the East. So, you know, they beat the team I thought might have been the best last week. So they're right top 2 or 3, I think.
Yeah. Nasty defense. Excellent against the run. See if they can slow down Jacobs. But, again, it just could be a hound's breakfast here, depending on who plays and who's out in the offensive line for the Raiders in the late afternoon kickoff. And the game that was flexed now or moved into the Sunday night. Good Sunday night game, too, though, but with Seattle and Arizona. And Seattle off the bye, 5-0 against 4-2 here. The dog has done well in this matchup. More on that coming up, and we'll run down some trends from Point Spread Weekly. And Bruce always does a great job with the trends that he likes. But to me, this comes down to Murray. And as Murray goes, and this could be a playoff team, but if Murray plays well, they're dangerous. Their defense is playing well, too. I don't know. Can Seattle get stops here? As their defense is getting gashed with how many yards they're giving up. And Adams, he'll be able to go. Seattle 3.5 and a total of 56. It was a good win on Monday night, but this series is backwards. Arizona has a lot of success in Seattle. Seattle usually beats them on the road. It's backwards here, but again, the dog crushes at ATS in this matchup head-to-head.
Yeah, it's an inside-out series, like we like to call it. And the visiting team, 9-1-1 versus the line, the last 11 in this series. Russell Wilson has not lost to the Cardinals on this field. Now, he lost the Super Bowl on this field to the Patriots, but he hasn't lost to the Cardinals on this field since his very first game he started for the Seahawks, his very first year, rookie year in 2012. So he's had a lot of success down here. That total, I mean, I think this thing with the Cardinals, they've yet to go over this year. Some people got a push in there once on one of their totals. But that's up there pretty high, and I know Seattle's defense has had some problems, but I don't know that I'd be looking over. I think this might actually land under that. And we like Seattle at the gold sheet. We're going to stick with that trend, and heck, they are undefeated. Remember, too, Arizona, the teams they've been beating
the last couple weeks.
I mean, you know, the Jets and Cowboys. Yeah, I know they look good, but it's the Jets and Cowboys, so
that's
I don't want to get carried away.
Yep, the back-to-back games are 30 points. Yep. You're right. It was the Jets, and then Dallas handed them four turnovers.
Yep.
And again, Murray completes nine passes, and they route them.
Yep.
13-4-1 ATS run, last 18 on the road for Seattle.
Yep.
So they've been great in this spot, but they've been also phenomenal on offense, too. What do you think of the Brown news? You think Antonio Brown's a good fit in Seattle? Is he a good fit anywhere? Or would you just say I pass, hard pass on that?
It's probably a low-risk, high-reward thing. I mean, if he doesn't work out quick, if he's a problem, he's out. So I think in that regard, you know, maybe. But I wouldn't touch him. But who knows? Maybe they can unlock something there. We'll see.
Okay. This is the marquee game of the week. 5-0 against 5-0. Steelers and Titans. Points allowed. Pittsburgh number one. Sacks. Pittsburgh number one. Interceptions. Pittsburgh number two. Tennessee averaging 30 a game on offense. Tannehill's been great, as Peter King wrote Monday. Number one passer rating going back to week one of last year. Roethlisberger, great TD-INT ratio. They've coming off two nice wins, especially what happened last week to just blow out the Browns at home and the Titans off the great come-from-behind win in the overtime shootout, 42-36. Can they get Henry going? I'm not sure. I don't think you can run the ball against the Steelers. And Ben's been great, too, about changes. Speaking about Wentz, Ben used to do it, too. Get rid of the ball. Quit holding on to it. And so many weapons now, and they do a great job drafting wide receivers. Connor's been great rushing the ball, too, with what he's done the last couple of games. I like the Steelers in this game. What say you?
I like the Titans a bit. I can understand liking the Steelers. They've started off very quickly. But again, back to that, what we were talking about with Arizona a second ago. The schedule's broken very well for Pittsburgh. They haven't been on the road since that game against the Giants in the opener. They were supposed to play this game 3 weeks ago. Ryan Tannehill, since he took over at quarterback, is 14-4 straight up, and he's been pulling out a lot of games. Mm-hmm. I think Vrabel is bloody brilliant. Now, the fact that Steelers are an underdog, it's a short price there. But I know Mike Tomlin's had a very good underdog mark, even though, you know, we're just talking about one point here now. Henry got rolling last week. I think that was really big. He's not going to run for 212 again this week. But if he's that way, if you get him going, he's going to be very tough.
Titans now laying one, 50.5 the total. As I mentioned, they're averaging 32 points per game. That's second in the league. Check the status of Smith and Davis. Brown is also questionable. I imagine he plays. Tannehill, 13-2 touchdown INT ratio. Almost 1,400 yards. Ben, 11-1 touchdown INT ratio. As I mentioned, Connor, 100 yards in three of the last four. The Pittsburgh defense only allowing 18 points per game.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's been good. But again, the schedule's broken very well for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the Giants, you had Denver, you had Houston when it was struggling. Cleveland, they always beat Cleveland. I mean, it's been 17 years since they lost a game at home to Cleveland. So that was great, though. They looked very good last week. It all came together. But this is going to be much, much tougher. And I wouldn't want to bet against Vrabel in a close game.
Okay,
Vrabel
seems
to push the right buttons.
Well, couldn't I say the same thing about the Titans? Survive against Denver. Outplayed, survived turnovers against Minnesota.
Right.
They survived last week. Could have lost that game.
Right.
They were impressive against the Bills.
Yes.
Now, that surprised me. But then again, Allen looked atrocious in what happened against Kansas City. And there was another close call in there, too.
Minnesota.
It was after that. Minnesota. Excuse me. I'm blanking on that one game. Whatever it was.
Well, they had the
Minnesota-Denver.
They missed the 1 week there with the COVID. So they've had that. I like that too. The fact they showed this resilience there.
That was impressive.
Yeah, it really was. You know, the Buffalo game was extremely impressive, and that's the best win either of these two teams have, I think, this year. Steeler fans might argue the Brown game was more impressive, but
the Jacksonville game, last second field goal to beat them at home 33-30.
Right.
That was the other one.
This team has a knack of winning these close games, and we saw it last year. Their record in one score games and Tannehill, the way they're able to pull things out, you know, you're just asking them to win here. I like the Titans.
Okay. The last Denver quarterback to beat the Chiefs, Peyton Manning.
I remember the game. It was that Monday night game at the start of 2015, week two. And they scored two touchdowns in the last minute, and Bradley Roby ran a fumble back in the last minute that got Denver the win 24-17. Nine straight losses since then.
Uh-huh.
Chiefs don't have a win streak this long over Denver since the AFL days. 1964 to 69, they ended up winning. They won 11 in a row with Hank Stram. So it's been a long time
there
since they've won. Yeah, it's a long, long time
yeah.
since they've won this many. But here we go. I mean, Denver, I am I'm on radio at Denver every Saturday morning, and I'm still not sure about Drew Lock, and his numbers are not all that good.
Bruce, and I mean, come on. Those two interceptions in the fourth quarter against the Patriots, and why are you throwing the ball there when you're having success on the ground?
And how about in the first, Brandon McManus, thank goodness for him if you're a Bronco fan. I mean, that sack that Lock took, a 15-yard sack right before McManus hit a 53-yard field goal, you can't do that either. Until Lock can win one of these games, until the Broncos beat the Chiefs, they're not going to be a factor in the West. And this is, like you said, 9 counting on 10 here. I don't know. Remember those two games last year when Flacco, well, the first game, Flacco, the second game, it was Lock in the snow in Kansas City. Flacco got sacked, but 7 times the first half. You know, Chiefs seem to have Denver's number now.
How about the weather here now? Snow and in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like out here. We go from 91 to 55 in a span of 6 days.
Yeah.
And the same thing in Denver. Not only is it the 9, it's 1-8 ATS last night against Kansas City. 20 points per game on offense. It's dreadful, just all the field goals, but it was enough to win last week against New England. KC's on a 13-2 ATS run, thanks to Joe Osborne with that, as Joe keeps saying, and he's right. Oh, you know, square. It's not square. It's not square because they keep cashing tickets on Kansas City, this ATS run. And they've been, with the one hiccup against the Raiders, KC's done a good job defensively. But we'll see if they can slow down. They stopped Denver's rushing attack. That'll be all she wrote.
But I'll give Uncle Vic some credit. Denver is playing awfully hard. They've had, you talk about injuries. I don't want to hear about Dallas's injuries. Denver has had a ton, and they keep playing hard. So I'll tell you what, Vic Fangio's got this team fighting very, very hard. They won't roll over, but I don't think they have enough firepower to outscore Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Follow the Money, Paulie and Bruce Marshall, Visa and the Sports Betting Network. Adam Chernoff coming up in 45 minutes. We'll get Bruce's thoughts. We'll run rapid fire rundown most of the card in college, and we have the Big Ten back and the Mountain West, and we got 3 get out games as well. How about the Patriots? So they lose 18-12 at home against Denver. They're giving up 119 rushing yards per game. Another bust here. Harry was on a milk carton again last week. 2 targets, no receptions. Cam struggled. Got to give him a break with the lack of practice. San Francisco comes in, 4th-ranked pass defense. Huge game here. Huge. The losers in a world of hurt. Patriots laying 2. Look at the total. 43.5, the total in this one. Do you think the Niners are back after that impressive win Sunday night against the Rams? And I know the Patriots have had some issues here, but as Belichick said, we just have to practice together and get some chemistry.
Well, you know, the Niners have so many key guys out on defense. I'm still not sure I want to buy on San Francisco after last week. We do like them here a little bit, though, because I think back to Vic Fangio, he laid out the roadmap how to deal with Cam and this offense right now. Make him throw. You know, just defend against the run, and let's see if Cam can beat you downfield. We talked about Harry not showing up last week. The passing game has really been suspect for the Patriots the last couple. And I know that one game that Cam missed, but that was bad last week. You know, it's unfortunate. The COVID stuff happened for the Patriots, but it took away a lot of their momentum. They weren't able to practice for a few days. Cam was out, and the offense looked completely out of sync last week. San Francisco has also played very well in the Eastern time zone.
Yes, they have.
They have traveled extremely well. And I know it was just the Jets and the Giants earlier this year, but last year they played very well in the East as well. Very good record in these games, although this is a later afternoon kickoff, but it's not an early, but they've dealt with it good. But, we took San Francisco. We had it 23-17 in the sheet.
Sounds good. All fair points. Trends, point spread weekly. Last 4, Cincinnati, Cleveland have gone over. Dallas, 8-2 to the over against teams with a losing record. 9 of the last 10 Washington-Dallas games have gone over. Carolina on a 14-1 over run on the road against an opponent averaging 27 points per game or more. The last 7 head-to-head have gone over. Bills, 12-3 to the under on the road before New England. The dog is 8-1-1 in the Seattle-Arizona series. Denver's played 10 straight unders with a total of 45 or higher. The Tampa-Raider matchup, 7-0-1 over. The last 8 head-to-head. The dog is on an 8-0 ATS run in the Pittsburgh-Tennessee matchup, and Chargers have covered 8 in a row ATS against Jacksonville. And you mentioned Kansas City's won 9 in a row straight up against Denver as well. There's a couple games where it's like, man, just pass, right? Jacksonville and the Chargers, and I would say Detroit and Atlanta.
Yeah, that's sort of a toss-up there. You wonder if Atlanta's going to rally here for Raheem Morris. It looked like Detroit did last week, start to rally for Matt Patricia. It'll probably be a close game. Both these teams can't lose this game. I guess they could end up tying, but they both, I mean, liable to lose a game like this, so I think we'd rather watch. Though that might be kind of an entertaining game.
I think you're right. We're at the South Point Studios. This part of the show brought to you by OddsTrader.com. Winners are made here. They do the hard work for you. Who's going to be the winner? All handicapping tools in one place. Free service dedicated to helping sports fans beat the books. Sign up for an account today. Real-time bet tracking, live in-game odds and stats, in-game tracking tools, compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses. Thanks to Alexander, and visit OddsTrader.com. Great site, OddsTrader.com. Three shows left here from the South Point, and then we move to Circa with the grand opening on Tuesday, and then the show Wednesday at 4 a.m., and you have the pregame that starts at 10 Eastern on the East Coast for free. Go to vsin.com to check out, and there'll be supposed to be some big-time celebrities coming by. Derek and Michael start the show at 4 a.m. Pacific time, 7 Eastern. So the pregame starts, and we'll go run through everything with Circa. And you saw the pictures and some of the videos yesterday from the book and what leaked out yesterday on social media. Win-lose, short but sweet up next. And we'll get Bruce's thoughts coming up. Interesting take on the World Series in Game 3 tonight. That's coming up. Follow the money. For a faster way to win, when you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, faster withdrawals, and faster rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself. Sign up with code VSIN250 to get 100% deposit match up to 250. Must be present in New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, or Illinois. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Time for win-lose.
Rough night?
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night? How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Always an eclectic mix at Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. An incredible dog video coming up. One bad beat. Eagles first half team total 12.5. Elliott misses the shorty with 17 seconds left. 10-7 at halftime. How'd the Eagles win that game? And what happened with the early touchdown? Hibernation until Wentz rallies in that one. This was sent in from Thomas. This is incredible. This is with Thomas. That's his German Shepherd. Opens the door. He does it every day. Dog runs out. Bruce, you got to love this. Go. He gets the paper. He brings it right back every single day. I'll tell you, these German Shepherds are so sharp. That's incredible. Open the door. He knows where he's going. He's got it. Piece of cake. Runs right out. I got the paper. You got the papers? He brings it right back.
He's still reading a newspaper. That's the most important.
Yeah, that's right. Good call there. That is excellent. Awesome, Thomas. Great job. Thanks for the video. Seagal in Maryland. Here's the feeling good all the time. Oh, God. We played it before, but that's before COVID as well. But I know that was... She smashes... Can we get it again? She smashes the can of beer on her head. And then, Bruce, that's you in college.
No.
No? Okay.
It's my wife.
Sorry, honey, I didn't mean that. Sure. I'm just teasing.
The look on the guy's face. I mean, that is impressive. Very good. All right, excellent. That's win-lose. Oh, one more. Yeah, this was Chris Regan. Chris Regan sent this in. What kind of dog is that? A golden doodle dog? The thing's 6 months old. Look at the size of that thing. He says it's 6 months in the tweet. Is that right? Oh, incredible Hulk. Oh, that dog. Look at that. How can that dog be 6 months? That can't be. Bigger than Chris. Thanks, Chris. Excellent. All right. Pivotal game three tonight.
Yep.
World Series. What am I going to get out of Buehler? How long will he go? Six innings. Five innings, one earned. Four innings, one earned. Four innings, two earned. Late September, four innings, no earned. You know, see, Morton's been awesome.
Right.
But it's because he's got a strong bullpen and Cash wants to turn it over to the bullpen. But what am I don't trust these guys in the Dodgers pen. What if Buehler only goes five, God forbid, even four innings?
Right. I think there's good value on Morton tonight. We're going to release Tampa Bay tonight. And also remember, unlike the league championship series, you had an off day yesterday. So the bullpen's got a little more rest. That could help Tampa Bay. It might help the Dodgers some too. But you know, there's a constant supply of relievers that Kevin Cash can turn to. I think tonight, if the Rays win this series, win this game tonight, they've got a really good chance to win the series. If the Dodgers win tonight, I think they're going to win the series. And because Tampa Bay does not want to lose a start where Morton is on the mound, because I think I'd probably rather him going than Snell. But I agree with you. I think this is an interesting underdog tonight with the Tampa Bay.
Well, so is Saturday. Urias against probably an opener. That's intriguing, too.
Yes.
I guess I wouldn't be surprised if something happens to Urias, but
he
also could be Nails, and then what do you get with Tampa?
You're right. Yeah, Urias has pitched well
in
the postseason here. So the Dodgers, I think, might be feeling pretty good about that. But if they lose tonight, all of a sudden, I mean, they've lost a lot of playoff series here in the last several years, and some, you know, down the road here, you might wonder about some of those, wondering if they can pull one of these things out. It's happened before to them so many times. So we'll see. Important game tonight. They're all important, but this is
expensive. No, I'm with you. If the Dodgers lose, it's like, oh, boy, here we go again.
Yeah.
And then all the pressure on the young kid. Morton, 5 2/3, two hits, no earned in his last start. Five innings, no runs. Five innings, one earned. So he's been great the last three times. Plus, we know what he's done in Game 7s if he comes in Game 7 as well. Does this series remind you of anything? And you spend all your time in California. What are we, the 32-year anniversary here was last week of the Gibson bomb.
Right. I was at the Silver Bowl watching UNLV play New Mexico State that night, believe it or not.
Come on.
I was.
Was that a Saturday night?
Yeah, Saturday night. 28-20 UNLV, by the way, if you want to look at it.
All right.
And the whole game was played at the other side of the field from where we were. That's Wayne Nunley days at UNLV.
All right.
That's where I was.
1988.
Yeah.
Incredible. College football. We have three games tonight, four games actually. But three games on TV. One of the biggest upsets of the season last year happened in this matchup, so there's revenge. And we'll run down the college card. Bruce with the Big Ten preview. Thoughts on the Pac-12. Coaches on the hot seat. Rice with their first game. Some top 25 matchups. Cincinnati against SMU. Everything. Hardcore college football next. Follow the money. At it, baby. Chuck Edel coming up 6-1 last week. Get his plays. Three totals in college football. Adam Chernoff and Lou Finocchiaro on the UFC card. Didn't work out with Jeremy yesterday. Okay, it happens. What are you going to do? Top plays from ExpressBet analyst Jeff Siegel. How about Nigel, by the way? Crushing it in soccer again. 3-0-1 for Nigel in soccer. We're going to Santa Anita. Fourth race. Jeff likes the 6. Drawn comfortably outside and sporting the always dangerous blinkers off angle, this daughter of Shackelford easily projects as the lone speed. In a field with suspect closers, she'll have every chance to keep on going. She's 2-1 on the morning line. In the 8th race at Santa Anita, Jeff likes the 3, Posterize. Good name. A jockey switch should have this gelding set for a strong effort over a track that has produced all 3 of his career victories. Makes sense. Santa Anita. 4th race, go with the 6. 8th race at Santa Anita, go with the 3. Sign up now, get a special bonus package, $10 instantly upon signing up, and a 10% rebate during your first 30 days up to $500. First.com/bet, first.com/Vegas500, first.com/Vegas500. Go get them, Jeff Siegel. Okay, triple header on TV tonight. Illinois plays Wisconsin. Wisconsin, Big Ten Network. Wisconsin in the 19 and a half range. And it's 19 here at the South Point. You want to talk about a revenge game. Wisconsin was ranked in the top 10 last year. They go to Illinois. They're laying 30 and a half, and they lost the game. One of the biggest upsets of the year, and we've seen a long time in college football. They were ranked sixth. They were 6-0. They were laying a ton of points, 30 and a half. They lost 24-23. And as Paul Stone pointed out Tuesday, that he bet this Sunday in pocket, this total has moved 8 points. It opened 59 and a half at Circa.
Jack Cohn not playing for Wisconsin, so that might have something to do with it. Mertz is in there. This game last year, I thought, began. Illinois had that little run last year, and it helped save Lovey's job because I think Lovey was really in some trouble. And that certainly turned Illinois' season around and really was a black eye for Wisconsin as that year went along. They don't have a really great record as a favorite here in Madison in recent years. I mean, Paul Chris has been awfully good there, but one role in which the Badgers have underachieved has been laying points at Camp Randall. No fans there tonight. I wonder how that's going to look and feel in Madison tonight. There's still no place to park there, by the way, if there's a Steve McInerney knows what we're talking about. But I think you can make a case for Illinois. I mean, Peters is back. I mean, they were rather competitive last year. Bad taste in my mouth because I had them against Cal in the bowl game last year and it didn't work out. But this is a pretty hefty price for Wisconsin. It's not been a great role for them there, so I think there's a case for Illinois, sure.
How about the home dog here? Bill Clark has been great at home at UAB. This has flipped 5 points. UAB opened a two-point choice at Circa. They're now catching three against Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, a little of the shine has come off the Raging Cajuns, I think, since that start there in the early big win that they had at Kansas State. I know UAB, I mean, really. Now, they've had some issues there with injuries and Johnston in and out, but Bill Clark at home as a dog.
I think the other kid's better.
He might be.
I like the other quarterback.
He might be better, but that might have something to do with this number. I don't know why this number has moved that way. UAB at home looks like an interesting one to me, and I think they have some fans in there tonight, too.
Any thoughts on the game on ESPN, Tulsa and South Florida? Tulsa's laying 10.
South Florida's bad. I mean, Jeff Scott hasn't been able to put this thing together. Phillip Montgomery, this is a real defense Tulsa has this year. And you know, we're not, you know, usually laying points like this with Tulsa out in the road, but I don't know that I would hesitate because I think I'd just go against South Florida until further notice.
All right. Monster game at night in prime time in the AAC. Number 9, Cincinnati at number 16, SMU. 3-0 against 5-0. And Cincinnati's had some time off here. Something has to give game. SMU's averaging 42 points per game. Cincinnati's allowing 12 points per game. We know Roberson, the star running back and wide receiver, are out for SMU. I don't agree with the line move here. Since he opened the favorite at Circa, now SMU's laying 2.5. I was concerned that they had to win in overtime and barely survive at Tulane. They also, with the key injuries, and then I believe it was the Memphis game where they had all these issues in the second half and couldn't score and had to hang on there. To me, Cincinnati's going to get enough stops with the two key injuries to SMU on the offense, and I think Cincinnati will be able to move the ball on SMU, and I think Cincinnati will win, and the defense will win out here.
Well, if Sonny's going to win this game, it's going to be Bouchel out playing Ritter. Mm-hmm. I know with Roberson out, I mean, I think he was their best weapon they had on that offense at SMU. So that's a problem for them. Ritter is coming off a very, very shaky game last week. He threw three interceptions against South Florida. Didn't look all that good. SMU has been putting some pressure on opposing quarterbacks. So I think that's going to sort of be the key tonight. If Ritter still struggles, they're going to have trouble getting over the hump. But I do think you have a point there about Cincy's defense being good enough. And, couple of those key guys out for SMU. We leaned a little bit to SMU at the Gold Sheet, but this is a tough spot.
If Cincy wins and they come into the game ranked 9th, they'd get a big jump and a boost because they're beating a top 20 team on the road. They get Memphis and Houston at home. They go to Central Florida, and they have all kinds of issues defensively. And they go to Tulsa. This is doable.
It is doable.
And you have you think the SEC is only going to get one in.
Yes.
And you're dismissing the Pac-12. You have to dismiss the Big 12. I'm saying it's possible here.
It is. I mean, they could certainly get in there. The SEC, as far as the Final Four goes, unless Alabama loses in the SEC title game, and I'm projecting way out here. Uh-huh. I mean,
does Georgia only have one loss?
Well, yeah, if Georgia beats them again, and then if they'd have to beat Alabama in the SEC title game, you know, and then that could work. Florida's already got a loss. Everybody in the East already has a loss, and you're probably going to have to play Alabama in the SEC title game. So unless Alabama loses the SEC title game, and I think that would probably be they'd still probably get in the Final Four if this works the way I think it's going to work. That would be the only way you get two SEC teams there. So there's some room. And, yeah, this Pac-12, we'll talk more about the Pac-12 later, but, yeah, I can't believe that they'd be involved. But they might. I mean, the way this schedule and the sanctity of records and all that. So we'll see.
And quickly, and we'll get your thoughts on the Big Ten coming up. Yep. Two intriguing games in the Big Ten and two tweets from Brad Powers, who's on this show a lot. Tweet number one, they open the dog. Now they're the favorite. Iowa is on a 21-0 straight up. And 17-3-1 ATS run is a road favorite since late 2011. They're laying 3 against Purdue. That's crazy. That is crazy.
They've been great. This has been a great role for them.
Yep, and I know there were some people pushing back against Mitch. Mitch gives Fleck, the Minnesota, the coaching edge against Michigan, which, look at this now. Since 2006, Michigan is 1-20 on the road against ranked teams, losing by an average of 15 points per game. Harbaugh cannot, and that's not all Harbaugh, but Harbaugh cannot win these games, big games against ranked opponents, what's happened since he took over.
They're not happy there. Some of that 15 per game is what Ohio State's done to them on the road some of these games. But I think Mitch is right. I kind of like Fleck more than Harbaugh, too. I think the luster is off that higher at Ann Arbor, long off that higher.
Mountain West, Pac-12, Big Ten, more a college football card with Bruce Fall the Money, VEASAN. Your bets just before the game, Bet Rivers Sportsbook's a perfect place for you. Go to BetRivers.com on any NFL game day. Find 30% less vig on point spreads and totals, which means more money in your pocket. Great customer service, one-time playthrough. Your hometown sportsbook. Again, over 245 different ways to bet the football game last night. And they had the turnover insurance, and there were four of them. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey is Play Sugar House. The other thing, too, we were talking during the break. So Brohm has COVID.
Yeah.
And that begs the question, what's a coach worth if a coach is out? What's he worth to the point spread? We just went through this with Saban, although he was out there.
Yeah.
But then we have a lot of coaches now who are getting COVID.
Yeah, I mean, Brohm's brother is going to coach this game for Purdue. It reminds me of this, but it was a great book David Moranis wrote about Vince Lombardi when pride still mattered. And he said a lot of the Packers would say, once you got to game day on Sunday, he said Lombardi wasn't of much use. His strength was in preparing the team before, but they said during the game he was kind of useless. So I get that same feeling about Saban sometimes, too. The strength is in the preparation. So there might be something to what Ed said. Sure.
Great job by the crew putting this up as well. And going back, since 2006, Michigan is 1-20 on the road versus ranked teams, losing by an average of 15 points per game. Look at the scores. This is embarrassing. I mean, so they hung in there last year and lost by 7 at Penn State. Remember what happened? Wisconsin, they lost 35-14. It wasn't that close. Lost by 7 at Notre Dame. The win was 2 years ago at Sparty.
Yeah.
62-39 at Ohio State. Lost by 14 at Wisconsin. Lost 42-13 at Penn State. Close one against the Buckeyes, who were ranked second. Lost by 2 touchdowns in 2014. Lost 35-11 to Michigan State. Lost 31-0 at Notre Dame. Lost 29-6 against Sparty. Look at these scores.
Yeah. That looks like Northwestern's log from 1980 or 81. I mean, it's really bad. And that doesn't include a lot of these bowl games. You know, Harbaugh's lost 4 straight bowl games in those neutral games. I bet.
Has he? Lost 4? Oh.
Yeah. And I bet, Michigan's bowl record has not been too good over that time as well. I got a couple wins in there. But, it's the luster, at least for Harbaugh, but you can see it goes back further than that. It's been off. The luster's been off for a long time.
What are your thoughts on the Big Ten as we get underway tonight?
Oh, I want to see if anybody's going to rise up and challenge Ohio State, and we'll see about Penn State. We did like them a little bit this weekend against Indiana. I'm wondering about if somebody's going to what's going to happen in the West, and if some of these teams might bounce back. Northwestern, I think, is interesting. Unless he's outmanned, I think Pat Fitzgerald is one of the most resourceful coaches in the country. Quarterback was really a problem for them last year. Peyton Ramsey coming in from Indiana, I think, helps quite a bit. I'm not sure I'm going overboard with them against Maryland this week just because their record is home chalk and Evanston has been so bad in recent years. But I would look for Northwestern perhaps as a team that could bounce back some this year. And I kind of thought Purdue might as well. I still am very pro Jeff Brohm. His brother's going to coach this game tomorrow. One other thing, one note about Iowa. Don't forget, there have been a lot of distractions in that program.
Oh, good
a
point.
A lot yes. This summer. So it might not be business as usual with the Hawkeyes going into that game tomorrow.
Any thoughts on the Mountain West coming back? We've already had a game canceled, but we have a couple late get-out games with UNLV, San Diego State, and Air Force, and San Jose State.
Yeah.
Chuck likes the total in that game we'll get to coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of wait and see how the Mountain West looks. I wonder, I mean, they postponed that Mexico game so early. They couldn't have moved it to Fort Collins. There must be some reason for that, but this is the Mountain West we're talking about. I want to see who's going to challenge Boise here. Craig Bowl, I think Wyoming is going to be the team that you might want to keep an eye on there. He's got Chambers back at quarterback. They have that system is in there for Bowl, and he's got Wyoming very competitive. So if there's a team to challenge Boise, I think it might be our good old friend Craig Bowl.
And the Pac-12 comes back next week.
Back door to the Final Four. I mean, there's people thinking. I mean, I put it in Point Spread Weekly this week. I threw a flyer out there that Cal's my team. I really think could be good. But you cannot tell me that a league that has six-game schedule and then a I don't know that the Pac-12 of the South is any better than the Sun Belt, really.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if it is. I mean, UCLA playing, Coastal Carolina, Lafayette, I don't know. But Cal is the team I would watch because Justin Wilcox has done such a nice job. They lost the games last year when Garbers was out. That's a team I'd watch. I think it's unfortunate, though, a six-game schedule, and then you get a conference championship game, you can end up in the Final Four. I think that's possible. A couple of us, I mean, Matt thought USC might in Point Spread Weekly, and I had Cal in there, so, I mean, who knows? But I don't think that's a good thing, but that's 2020 college football for you.
How about the marquee games in the SEC?
Yep.
And thoughts on coaches' buyouts and who's on the hot seat? What are you hearing in Auburn?
Well, Auburn, I mean, this is a constant rumor thing there. There's one thing you got to remember about these buyouts, and Gus's buyout is north of $20 million. Tom Herman, Texas, it's north of $20
million. Babers is $17
million. Yeah.
It's Syracuse.
But you got to remember, these buyouts, it doesn't often end up costing that much to the schools. First of all, they keep the terms of the contract usually, and offset language can be very – It varies by contract, but generally when a coach gets another job, the school that fired him is off the hook for that part of the salary he gets hired. So they're usually not going to pay all that much. I'm telling you, Gus is not – it's not going to cost Auburn that much because Gus is going to find another job because he's got Jimmy Sexton as his agent. We'll talk more about Jimmy Sexton in a moment. Here's one that's interesting. I think and nobody's talking about Vanderbilt. They're not playing this week. But there is so much going on in Nashville behind the scenes with Derek Mason there. And what's going on in the athletic department, they just promoted Candace Lee earlier this year to the AD job, and she's very much in Derek's corner from what we hear. They've just hired, the school president hired a couple of assistants, including Tommy McLellan, who was the AD at La Tech, unbeknownst to Candace Lee, from what I heard. So he's now working with the president of the school, the chancellor. And there's a real struggle that's going to go on there. Derek is they're losing money with the boosters or not contributing as much. But there's a faction there at Vanderbilt that wants to give Mason another chance, and he's not going to maybe not win it all this year. They'll want to keep him till next year. That's a fight that's coming up later this year. We'll see who wins that tug of war in Nashville.
Auburn's 3 against Ole Miss. I mean, if Knicks can't move the ball in this game.
Here's an interesting stat. The last three times that Auburn has lost at Vaught-Hemingway, 1992, Pat Dye, 2008, soon-to-be Senator Tuberville, and 2012, Gene Chizik. They all got fired after that season. That's the last three they've lost at Vaught-Hemingway. So here's Gus coming in this week's Jimmy Sexton Game of the Week, because Jimmy's got both these guys, Lane and Gus Malzahn. He better, I'll tell you what, Bo Nix's numbers away from home have been so much worse than they have been at Jordan-Hare. He better pick up the pace real quick. I mean, I'm telling you, the war drums are starting to beat at Auburn. We've heard wild rumors up there. I mean, bringing Jimbo in, working out a deal with A&M. Bob's
Jimbo?
Crazy. This is Auburn we're talking about. Bob Stoops is another name who's come up. And we'd heard they thought Kevin Steele, in case Gus would have left, they wouldn't have minded moving Steele up as well. But keep an eye on this situation. I mean, there's some crazy things that can happen. And these buyouts, like I tell you, they're usually not going to cost as much as they look on the surface.
The guy at Arkansas is doing an incredible job. That was a horrible program.
Oh,
couldn't even compete conference games.
I'll tell you, at Arkansas, they look back when he was there, when he was Brett Bielema's offensive line coach. That started to sink for Bielema when Pittman went to Georgia. And what he has done, he has brought in Kendall Briles to coordinate the offense and Barry Odom to coordinate the defense. Brilliant hires, absolutely brilliant hires. And Arkansas bears no resemblance to the last couple of years for Chad Morris. This was a very, very shrewd hire by the Razorbacks.
What do you want to do with Rice? This line is flipped. Rice is now favored. They haven't played a game yet.
There's no – I know this is anti-Middle Tennessee after the defense gave up almost 800 yards last week to North Texas. And Rick Stockstill seems to be spinning his wheels there. But you can't – Rice laying points now at home. They're breaking in a new quarterback. They've got offensive line concerns there. Blomgren is not making much progress in the program. How can they be laying points? I don't know. I know now – They've been able to practice and aim for this game for weeks. So, you know, maybe that will work in Rice's favor. But listen, Middle Tennessee was playing okay until last week. And O'Hara is a very dangerous quarterback. He can run. He's a great dual threat. And I don't know. Listen, North Texas, if their offense gets going, can score a lot of points. Rice can't do what North Texas can do offense. I'm not saying that North Texas is that much better than Rice. But Rice doesn't have that sort of an offense that's going to put up 700-800 yards the way North Texas did last week. I think Middle is worth a look, 3.5. Why is Rice laying points?
Well, why is San Diego State laying 14.5? We haven't seen this movie ever before. When San Diego State has to cover big, I don't care if it's UNLV and the COVID issues, but when they have to lay a big, they can't score.
I know. I would rather wait to see Brady Hoke's San Diego State show they can cover a game as a home favorite like this. Rocky, that was a real problem for him. The offense, triple-digit ranked. Now, they say they're going to jazz things up a bit at San Diego State.
Was that last year or 2 years ago? Almost every game went under. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah.
All the unders, yeah.
Unders, yeah. I mean, UNLV's played them very competitively the last couple of years. Won down there 2 years ago and almost beat the Aztecs here last season. So I want to see Brady Hoke's offense improve before I get on any San Diego State bandwagon. New coach at UNLV, too. A lot of new coaches in the Mountain West this year. And two of them going at it. Marcus Arroyo makes his debut with the Rebels in this one Saturday.
That hire looks worse every week. How they were running the offense at Oregon and how Herbert looks so far with the Chargers. I mean, again, you're driving the Lamborghini. You're doing 35 and a 65, what they were doing.
Yeah.
That looks terrible. He was running the offense. They handcuffed him the whole year.
Listen, the problems here, I think I might write in Harvey Hyde for president. The last coach who won winning record at UNLV.
Yeah.
That is quite an accomplishment. Harvey, he's my favorite.
Know.
So
I know.
That's our shout out to Harvey for this week.
What is it? One bowl appearance in 20? How long is it? Is it one bowl appearance in 25 years or something?
UNLV?
20?
Robinson's second team went in 2000. They beat Arkansas.
Bobby Houck went once.
So it's two in about 28, 29 years, I think. In the mid-90s, they went to one Las Vegas bowl. But, yeah, it's been a dry spell, that's for sure.
Get back to the NFL coming up next. We have some great props to go over. Survivor advice. Top, bottom, ATS, and totals. I'll make a case for the Packers coming up. And we'll also talk to Adam Chernoff, Simple Handicap Podcast. Did an excellent job. Like the Steelers route. Like the 49ers. Easy win. He has a couple totals that he likes. And what is he going to do with teasers? We'll talk to Adam coming up. Paulie, Bruce Marshall, Mitch out. Back Monday. Follow the money.